Ever get one of those spam emails? You know, the ones, and you're just like, really? They think I'm gonna fall for this.
Oh, yeah, those are the worst.
It's like, come on, algorithms, step up your games.
Right.
But speaking of algorithms, that's actually what we're diving into today.
Oh, is it my turn to be grilled by the algorithm overlords?
Not quite. We're actually diving into your notes on logistic regression.
Ah, logistic regression, the workhorse of classification.
Okay, so before we get too far, maybe you can give us the elevator pitch, you know? What is logistic regression in a nutshell?
Yeah.
Because the name, honestly, it sounds kind of like a snooze fest.
You're not wrong. It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But trust me, it's way cooler than it sounds.
Yeah.
Basically, imagine you're trying to sort things into categories, right? Like spam or not spam.
Okay, makes sense.
So, logistic regression is like the bouncer at the club of categories deciding who gets in and who doesn't.
I like that. I'm picturing a very discerning algorithm bouncer now.
Exactly. And this bouncer, well, they're using probabilities to make those decisions.
Probabilities. So is it like kind of random then?
Not at all. It's all based on data. See, this algorithm, it looks at all the features of whatever you're trying to classify, figures out which ones are important, and then uses that information to calculate the probability, the likelihood that something belongs to a certain category.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. So it's not actually regressing anything because the notes mention regression, and well, it sounds a little confusing.
Yeah, the name is a bit of a misnomer. It's not about predicting a continuous value, like, say, predicting the price of a house, which is actual regression. Logistic regression is all about classification, predicting which category something falls into.
Got it. So, like sorting emails as spam or not spam, or figuring out if a credit card transaction is legitimate.
Exactly. And despite its seeming simplicity, it's remarkably powerful and widely used. We're talking everything from spam filters to medical diagnoses.
Wow, really? I had no idea it was used for something as critical as medical diagnoses.
Oh, absolutely. It can help doctors predict the likelihood of a patient having a certain disease based on their symptoms, for example. It's all about analyzing patterns in data to make informed predictions.
So how does it actually work? The notes mention this whole single-layer perceptron thing, and honestly, it sounds a little intimidating.
Don't let that scare you. Think of it as a single neuron in a larger network. It's like the basic building block of more complex machine learning models.
Okay, so like one little algorithm brain cell.
Exactly. This neuron or perceptron takes in information, weighs it based on its importance, and then spits out a probability. Think of it like this. Let's say you're trying to predict whether a customer will click on an online ad.
Okay, I'm following.
The perceptron would look at things like the customer's past browsing history, what they've clicked on before, maybe even their demographics. All those factors become inputs, pieces of information that the perceptron considers.
Okay, so far so good. I think I understand the input part. But what about the weights? What are those? How does the algorithm decide what's important?
That's where the learning comes in. During what's called the training phase, the algorithm looks at a massive amount of data and figures out which features are most strongly correlated with the outcome we're interested in.
So in the case of the online ad, it would figure out what kind of stuff people who actually click on ads tend to look at.
Precisely. And that's how it assigns weights. If it sees that people who click on ads often visit websites about, say, travel, then websites about travel would get a higher weight. The algorithm learns that travel websites are a strong indicator of someone being likely to click on an ad.
Makes sense. And then it uses those weights to calculate the probability of someone clicking or not clicking, right?
Exactly. It's all about weighing the evidence, just like a detective would. And based on that probability, the algorithm makes its prediction click or no click. This whole process, by the way, is what makes it a single-layer perceptron. It's doing all of this in a single step.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's weighing the information, calculating the probability, and then making a decision, all in a single layer.
You got it. And that's what makes it such an elegant and efficient algorithm.
Elegant and efficient, I like it. So what about this gradient descent thing I keep seeing in the notes? Where does that fit into all of this?
Ah, gradient descent. That's how the algorithm actually learns. It's the engine under the hood, so to speak. Imagine you're trying to find the lowest point in a valley, right?
Okay, I'm picturing it.
You might wander around a bit, taking steps, but you'd always be aiming for lower ground, right? That's essentially what gradient descent is doing. It's a way for the algorithm to find the best possible fit for the data, to find that lowest point in the valley where the error is minimized.
So the lower it goes in the valley, the more accurate its predictions become.
Exactly. It's constantly taking these small steps, constantly adjusting the weights of those inputs based on how well it's doing, until it reaches the very bottom, the best possible solution.
Wow, that's actually really cool. It's like constantly learning and refining itself as it goes.
Exactly. And this is where things get really interesting because it's relatively straightforward. Logistic regression is a fantastic stepping stone into more complex algorithms like neural networks, which are essentially layers upon layers of these perceptrons all working together.
Okay, so it's like the foundation for more complex AI.
Precisely. And by understanding logistic regression, you unlock a whole world of machine learning possibilities.
Mind blown. Okay, so we've talked about spam, we've talked about online ads, but the notes also mention something called multi-class classification. What happens when things aren't so black and white, spam or not spam, click or no click? What if there are, like, multiple options?
That's where things get even more interesting. Let's say you're building a system to sort customer reviews, right? Not just positive or negative, but happy, neutral, confused, angry, all sorts of emotions.
Okay, yeah. That's a lot more complex than just two categories.
It is. And that's where multi-classification comes in. Instead of just one output, you get multiple outputs, one for each possible category.
So it's like having multiple logistic regression models, each one specializing in a different emotion.
You could say that it's a bit more nuanced, but that's the general idea. And this highlights how a seemingly simple algorithm can be incredibly powerful and adaptable.
This has been eye-opening. Who knew an algorithm with such a boring name could be so powerful and versatile?
Right. It's a workhorse algorithm that often doesn't get the credit it deserves. It's a great reminder that sometimes the most powerful tools are the ones that are easy to understand and build upon.
So the next time you outsmart a spam filter or you see a perfectly targeted ad, remember the elegant power of logistic regression at work. But here's something to ponder. If it can learn to predict things like spam and customer emotions, what other surprising applications might be possible? What hidden patterns could it unlock in the world around us? Keep those synapses firing.